Zuhaib, thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks, Anthony.
First of all, tell us and tell the audience, how did you reach that stage when it comes to the stock trading, stock accumulation, stock knowledge, and stock teaching as well? Like, how
Sure.
did everything start? Tell us more about it.
Sure. When I ever since I was a kid, I did what society told me, which is to go to school, get good grades, get a good job, work until you retire, live off your pension until you die, right? So I was good at half of that. I went to school, I got good grades, I got an academic scholarship to do a master's and PhD from Switzerland. But then by the end of it, I was still financially illiterate, for myself, right? I had a PhD in economics and an economics and finance background for a long time, but I'm still financially illiterate. This just goes to show you about our educational system, how weak and unstructured it is. So it wasn't until I started working at the IMF in Washington, D.C., and the World Bank in Washington when I started learning about how to invest. And the reason I set up Bespoke is because I grew up financially literate, it didn't mean that my daughter has to grow up that way, right? And if you look at a lot of formally educated people, people with bachelor's, master's, PhDs, a lot of them are suffering financially. It's not necessarily because they don't have the money coming in. It's just because they don't have the knowledge. And these kind of things affect their marriage, their health, and their overall, well-being. So it was really this need to alleviate this suffering, a needless suffering that I also went through, that was the genesis of Bespoke. And in Bespoke, we help people. Our goal really is to have as many people as possible achieve financial freedom as soon as possible. And the way we do it is by teaching people how to make passive income in the stock market through options trading, how to invest in high quality stocks, and how to build their wealth responsibly. Our message is that you can do this yourself. All you need is some education and some application.
What has been the success rate?
Oh, the success rate, it has been 100%, I would say. I was just recently, I got a text from one of my clients, and a lot of the times the feedback I get is that it's been amazing, it's changed my life. But every once in a while, I get this particular example to give me. You know what I mean? It's like one of the guys texted me saying that, so hey, now I have enough money to hire a personal trainer, right? So it's these kind of stories that really make it worthwhile for us and really push us going forward. And I think I use, these kind of reviews or these kind of success stories as a litmus test for how well we're doing. As long as we're hearing these stories, I think we're doing well. As we stop hearing these stories, I think we'll need to change something.
Tell us more about the company. When did you create it? When it was established? How many employees you have? What do you guys cover? Where are you based? And how many countries? Give us all of the
Sure, sure,
details
sure,
about
sure,
it.
sure. So we started last year,
Okay.
and the way we offer our services is that, well, first of all, we offer free workshops at the IFC Academy. And we also are in the process of putting together all of our educational content, a lot of the intro material, and we're putting it up all for free. And the reason we do that is because we don't want, money to be an impediment for people to access this knowledge. And for those people who want a more hands-on approach, we do these two-day workshops at the DIFC Academy. And in this workshop, we take people with no knowledge about the stock market to a position where they know about the stock market, how it works, how our strategy works, and so on. And then after those 2 days, we give them 3 months of support, which involves weekly coaching calls with them. It also involves an online community that also meets in person. But it also involves my own trades. And the reason I share my own trades is not because they copy them. It's because so that for them to understand the thought process behind those trades, because I've been doing this for quite some time. And the reason I emphasize on the thought process is that, God forbid something happens to me someday, right? My clients can continue on their journey, without me. So the emphasis is on doing it yourself and being your own financial advisor and not, giving your power away to other people. So this is what we do. And the other thing I would add is that we're doing all of these things in person. You know, if we were to just think about our margins, you know, we could have done these things online, but we emphasize on the in-person because we want to build a community and grow from there. You know, you just go online and look at our reviews. All of them are 5-star reviews so far. We also offer like 100% money-back guarantee. No one has taken us up on that. But the reason we offer that is because we know it works.
So tell you what, it's like what I've been hearing all of my life, like this guy, he went to a stock market and he lost his money. This guy, the same kid. You always have like the one guy who made it, which is same in crypto, which is same in any other trading platforms. But I mean, like the main general idea about stocks is like, it's like you're gambling or you're putting your money or you are looking to be getting the rich quick scheme or stuff like that. How can, let's say, a 24-year-old guy who just finished university, they do have a bit of saving. They want to enter this. They want to have a side income without really leveraging or having the money at risk. So my question to you is, like, first of all, someone needs to enter as low as how much? So $1,000, $5,000, like, what is the bare minimum entry to be buying stocks?
Yeah, sure. So before I answer that question, I think I'll extend the examples you gave, right?
Please.
So you mentioned crypto, you mentioned someone losing money in the stock market.
I think or Forex, or
even real estate,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you can say the same thing for any asset class, including private equity, right? So, and all of those things are true. And I think if someone is to start, you know, selling options, which is what we do, it's very something very specific, you need, you know, the short answer is you need $2,000 in your investment account to start. The long answer and the more nuanced answer is that knowledge is more important than how much money you start with, right? I started with this very small account and I took it to where it is right now because of the knowledge I acquired, right? Because I'm sure, you know, Anthony, of examples where, you know, you had lottery winners who went broke. You had pro athletes who went broke. It's not because they didn't have the money. They had the money. They just didn't have the knowledge and the application, right? But at the same time, I'm sure you know people who've built wealth, lost it, built it up again, right? And that's because they have the knowledge to do so.
Someone, let's make an example. So you're saying the bare minimum entry should be $2,000, okay? And today I'm addressing the regular person that have no idea about this. So let's say someone invested $2,000. What kind of returns are they looking at? And just, it's not like we're going to take you accountable for it. Just give us like rough numbers, approximately. You invested $2,000. What can you expect in a quarter, half a year, or in a year?
Sure. So, you know, first of all, as you said, you know, there are no promises, right? And anyone who makes you promises, I think you should run away as far as possible from them. I can tell you what I do for myself, which is I try, and I emphasize on the try, I try to aim for 1-4% a month. Do I always get that? No. Right. But I more often than not, I get that return. Right. And that is also what a lot of our clients are getting. But from a more practical standpoint, how much you make from this strategy and what we teach depends on, you know, your discipline. You know, don't be too greedy. Don't be too fearful. It depends on your risk tolerance. All of us have different risk tolerances. It also depends on, you know, how well you implement the strategy.
What kind of strategy you teach people to invest? Like, what are your strategies?
So, I think a lot of your audience are real estate people. So, I'll give a real estate analogy, which is that. So, let's say there's a distressed property on the market, and I'm interested in that property. I know that because it's a distressed property, its real value is more than it is being said right now, right? So do my homework, and I say that, you know, in the future, in 1 or 2 years, the rents will go up because, you know, there's a park being built here, or there's a metro line coming into the neighborhood. And then I'm like, okay, I think this distressed property is worth my investment. So I go ahead and buy it. And I buy it lower than it would have been if it were not distressed, right? So, and the reason you buy it at a lower price or at a discount is because you're technically taking the risk off of the seller. The exact same thing is what we do in the stock market. So we buy stocks at a discount and get paid for it because we're taking the risk off of the seller, right? Another analogy is the insurance company analogy, right? So if you're familiar with insurance company business model, you know that insurance companies make you know, premiums no matter what, right? So we go into the stock market and say, we're willing to buy, let's say, we like a stock and we want to sell insurance on it, right? And we say that, and if the stock price stays above the price we're comfortable at, we just get the insurance premium and that's it. If it goes below a certain price, we have to buy that stock, but we still make the insurance premium, right? But we're more than happy to buy that stock because that is the stock we wanted to buy anyway. We're buying it at a discount. And we also have done our homework, just like the distressed property example, and we know it's going to be worth more in the future. Because for the longest time, you know, people have different stereotypes about so many things in life, right? But about investing especially, and then particularly about the stock market. And sometimes they have stereotypes about real estate and so on. But one of the things that my field, professionals in my field, economists, especially those in academia, something that they've been pushing for the longest time is that you cannot beat the market, right? You cannot outperform the S&P 500, right? And they base this on the efficient market hypothesis, which is basically saying that, you know, which is assuming that, you know, all of the information out there is perfectly reflected in the stock price, right? Now, you know, I'm not a big fan of that hypothesis. It's still a hypothesis. There's literature supporting that hypothesis, but there's literature, empirical literature, saying that you indeed can. And there's a finance professor in MIT named Andrew Low. He wrote a book called Adaptive Markets, and he talks about human emotions there and why human emotions, fear and greed and so on. So he's basically saying that because we are humans, because we're imperfect, we're not always rational, especially in times of volatility, or for example, when the stock market's going down, you know. Because of those things, the stock market cannot fully be efficient, which also means that you indeed can outperform the market. So one of the messages, you know, that we give to people is that, you know, yes, you can outperform the market. You do need some knowledge. It's not easy, but you do need some knowledge. And you can do better than, a lot of financial advisors out there. And I say that responsibly.
Don't you think... being informed, it's a very important and crucial part of all of this process. Like, for example, I'm not promoting anything. This is something I do personally, which I do lots of crypto. And the way I want to be informed makes me nuts, man. Like, I go to Telegram. I have over 20 channels that they keep just providing news. And based on the news, you will see the function of the prices. And as you said, for example, Elon goes and he says, I don't know, Dodge all the way, just a tweet, and then you will see Dodge just flying out. So what I'm trying to say that in order for you to be in that space, you always have to be very well informed. Any event happening, SEC meeting, Feds raising or lowering the rates, or just announcing the profit of the companies can do a huge damage to the market or a huge uplift. And what I have seen, that kind of like the crypto market and the stock market, that like goes hand in hand. So whenever you see the stock down, you will see the crypto down. It's not the same way when the crypto down, it affects the stocks. So tell us more about this correlation between the two.
No, that's a good point, because, you know, especially when interest rates are low, people put more of their money in risk assets, right? And stocks and crypto are risk assets,
yeah,
right? Crypto more so than stocks, because a lot of these is, you know, stocks have a longer history, and there are other reasons for it too. But then you have off-risk investments, right? For example, bonds, right? Bonds are off-risk investments. So people shift between risk and off-risk investments. And there's indeed a correlation. But what we, you need to be constantly informed, you're right. But one of the things we're trying to do in our company is we want to make it, you know, a one-stop shop for everything. So, you know, give people, you know, pre-market trackers. So basically tell people what happened overnight in the market so that when they wake up in the morning, they know, you know, where the market stands. Give them, a daily rundown of what's been happening in the market. Give them a weekly review of what happened. And then every now and then also give them research reports on particular companies. So that is our intention. We're not there yet, but we want to make this like a one-stop shop. So you don't have to go to Telegram. So you don't have to go to CNBC or check a different app. You can just go to our platform and
news section or newsletter. You can be sending out emailers to everything happening. You mentioned something. I had this conversation last week. I was a guy. He's a big trader, and I told him like, "What do you recommend nowadays? Which stock you're eyeing?" And he was like, "Nothing. I actually moved all of my money to bonds." And I'm like, "Why?" Because he was like, "The bonds are paying ridiculous money. If I'm taking an American bond, it's 4.5%. If I'm taking one locally here in the UAE, it can be up to 7.2%. So it's like, why to put money in stocks, especially the prices are so high? There is no like light in the tunnel, you know, they don't know from there it's going to keep pushing or lowering. So do you use this strategy as well? Do you shift your money to bonds, or you just feel bonds are too safe and too of a boring investment? You need to have more action in stocks.
So I used to be in bonds. And in fact, in 2022, this link that I explained between bonds and stocks was broken down. And this friend of yours, I think if you check with him in 3 or 4 months, he might be putting more of his money back in stocks. And the reason I say that is because the market is pricing in a Fed rate cut in the summer. So whenever there's a rate cut, you see more people moving away from the bonds into stocks more, because, you know, stocks do often, not always, they often do better when, you know, after a decline in the interest rate. So I used to be in bonds back in the day when I used to believe in, you know, the efficient market hypothesis that you can't beat the market. I would put a lot of money in ETFs and so on. But now it's mostly, as far as the stock market goes, it's mostly entering into buying stocks long-term, but entering into them through selling options. And whenever I want to sell them, always selling them by selling options, particularly, you know, not to use technical jargon, but the way we sell our stock is by selling an option called a covered call.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about it? How does it work? Sure. How does the selling option work? And also, I want to know from you, what's the difference between the real estate investments and other options investments?
So maybe you can start from there. I think so. Real estate for me, it's one of my favorite, you know, wealth building asset classes. I think real estate is great for wealth building, especially because of our ability to leverage ourselves in it. But I think one of the differences is that I think real estate is more hands-on, and I don't talk about it being hands-on from a, you know, me managing my tenant or me managing the property manager who's managing the tenant. But I speak about it more from the perspective of the time when it comes to scale your property and, you know, dealing with the banks and the loans and the refinancing and so on. Those things, you know, make it more hands-on compared to option selling. The way we teach it, you know, we say that you don't need to spend more than 30 minutes a day doing this. If you're spending more than 30 minutes a day, you know, you shouldn't. You should be doing other things in your life. But you do need to spend quite a bit of time in the beginning. But once you get the ball rolling, don't spend more than 30 minutes a day doing this. The third biggest difference is that, let's say, between real estate and options is that, I think, let's say you have a $1 million property and the property goes up by 10%. You know, all of a sudden, you have $100,000 of equity in that property. But that $100,000, it doesn't do much for your family's lifestyle, right? Because lifestyle is more about the cash flow, less about the capital accumulation, right? So this is where stock options can come in. You know, if you're using it as a cash flow source, if you're using it as an income source, you can use some of that and then channel it towards, you know, what I call, you know, non-tangible assets, you know, going on vacation with your family, spending more time with your kids and so on, or tangible assets like real estate. Or you could just put all of it into real estate and let the cycle continue, right? Cash flow into real estate, into rental properties, for example, using that cash flow and putting it back into options and keeping the cycle moving.
Yeah, you can do something also much better where you can release equity on this property, take the money cash.
Absolutely.
You can put half in stocks, half in other real estate properties. And
exactly. I'm glad you mentioned this. Is something that I've done personally myself.
I do all of my life. I create portfolios, and also like I encourage people by taking loans. Most people, they don't take loans saying, "Oh, we're paying so much." But the way we manage properties in Dubai under the short-term rental, holiday homes, prime stay, we make people minimum 10% per year. So if you're taking a loan and you're paying 5% per year, you're still making 5%, which is considered as a side business, side income for yourself. So that's what I do mainly, is just like creating portfolios and multiplying these family homes through leveraging from banks.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because something I've done personally many times, some of our clients have done it. And we also teach people how to do this, right? Because often people are often scared, like, a lot of people don't even know this is possible, right? So they let their, you know, the equity sit there. But then exactly as you said, you can look at that interest differential, and that is something that you know, put in your pocket.
As you said earlier, that it's the lack of the financial literacy and education about money, where the money comes from, who prints the money, who supplies the money, that most people, whenever they see an opportunity, immediately they prefer to say it's a scam, rather than at least exploring and seeing what it is. So this is why I'm asking you this kind of questions today, because I'm not here to promote trading in anything, whether in crypto, whether in stocks. I just want people to start at least learning on their free time, going to Google, going to ChatGPT, just putting down, where can I see the stock? What is the most performing stock? How can I get the news? Where can I see the volume of cash coming in? So when people start understanding this stuff, they will start getting it. Why wars happen? Why gold goes up and down? Why everything moves? And they start to understand the human emotion and how to position themselves in places where to make money from it, rather being afraid and saying this is a scam, or they will take my money, or it's a gamble, like a roulette, like a black, black and red. Yeah. So tell us about how can someone scale his real estate by leveraging from the stocks? Yeah. Like, how they come together?
Sure. So Anthony, before I come to that question, you mentioned something really interesting, right? So, you know, I sometimes, for the longest time, I've wondered, right? Like, when I first learned about this, the first thing that came to mind was like, why didn't anyone tell me about this, right? And I have a theory, like I have multiple theories on why. One is that, you know, a lot of hedge funds employ these strategies, and I don't think it's in their interest that these things become common knowledge.
Public, of course. Right?
So if you ask someone, even in the economics and finance space, like someone who does a CFA, that person will tell you, oh, options are complicated. The options are risky. Why? They don't really know why, right? I think this is perception being built that you can't do it yourself. So this is one of the messages we want to give, is like, yes, you can do it yourself. So I've asked this question many times myself, which is, why aren't more people doing this? And then I'm like, you know, why aren't more people investing in real estate when they can? Why aren't more people taking care of their health when they can? Why aren't more people putting aside money for their kids when they can? And I think it's also true that historically, and even now, I think the majority of the population, I think we like to stay in our comfort zone, right? So staying within a comfort zone, you need a reason to justify staying within that. And sometimes the reason you give yourself is that, oh, it's a scam, or whatever other reason, right? So, and I think folks who stay within the comfort zone also tend to be people who are, you know, less optimistic about their circumstances or about the future. And they're also often people who also, I think, more close-minded about new things. But then you also have people who are more open-minded, who know that the situation they're born into is not the situation that will always last. And it's these kind of people that we target, and these kind of people we want to align ourselves with in the company.
Regarding the real estate investors, like, how can you tell them that if you do this, it's not going to be a distraction or a waste of time, moving you from your real estate sector to something else? Like,
Right. So, you know, a lot of real estate investors in Dubai have been doing great, especially if they're working with you.
Yeah, no, so like everyone is doing
great. Right. And you know, if they say something like this, you know, I get it, right? It's like, if it ain't broken, why fix it, right? I get that sentiment. But at the same time, you know, the Dubai real estate market for the past 15 plus years now, I think has been on a fairly bullish trend. You know, I think that's putting it lightly. But will we see the same kind of trend for the next 15 years? Maybe not. I don't know, right? But my point is that why not educate yourself about a new asset class, right? And it will only make you a better investor. It'll in fact make you a better real estate investor, because then you will know where to allocate your capital efficiently, right? I think the difference between a great investor and not so great investor is that the great investor knows the best place to put their capital, right? So for example, you know this perhaps better than me, and the long-term trend for real estate is upwards, right? But there are ebbs and flows, right? If in a certain year, the real estate market is going down, why not use some of your options, cash flow, options income, and scoop up cheaper properties? Or when stock market is going down, use some of your cash flow from real estate, or take some of your equity from your real estate and scoop up some cheaper stocks, right? So, and we don't have to limit ourselves to the stock market. I tell people, once you have one or two asset classes that you know well, then move on to other asset classes, private equity, for example. And the same message goes for people who are only in the stock market. Our message is, don't just think about stocks, think about real estate and other asset classes. One other thing I'll add, and something you mentioned before, is how do we expedite the scaling of the real estate portfolio? We discussed some of this briefly, but I'll mention it again. So it's really to create that virtuous cycle, right? Take the options premium, take that money, take that cash flow, put it towards your next down payment, for example. And then assuming it's a rental property, you can then take some of that income, put it back into your options account, or you can extract equity out of your house and put it into your options account and, rinse and repeat.
I'm sure you had real estate investors that they picked options of stocks. So can you tell us about what has been like the best case scenario? And let's also know about what has been the worst case scenario.
The best case scenario is that you start to expedite the scaling of a real estate portfolio and you start to make, 1-4% a month and spend no more than 30 minutes a day. That's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is that, end up, buying a stock and holding on to it. That is really the worst case scenario, right? And the reason that is indeed the worst case scenario is because, when you went out to sell a put on a given stock or sell an option, we tell people to only do that for companies that they've done their homework on, right? Just going back to the distressed property example, right? If you've done your homework, you should be happy getting assigned that stock, right? So that's really the worst case scenario. And I think a lot of people, there is indeed a learning curve, Anthony. In the beginning especially, you have to put in the effort, you have to put in the time. But once you've put in the effort, once you put in the time, it will change your life financially speaking. It'll change the way you look at money. It'll change the way you look at return on your investment, because you stop just looking at ROI, return on investment, but you'll also start looking at ROT, return on time.
And return on expectations, ROE.
That's right. That's right.
So what do you think is stopping people from doing this? Is it maybe the fear? Is it they're not curious enough? Is it lack of time? Is it lack of guts? Or is it all of the above combined? What is stopping people or a huge volume of people to get themselves into stock trading? And your opinion, of course.
Yeah, all of the above. But just to clarify, it's not a lot of people are into stocks, but not many people are into options. Options is simply a way to buy stocks at a discount and get paid for it.
Okay.
Right. And it's a way to sell your stocks at a premium and get paid for it. And if you want to think about a real estate analogy, just go back to the distressed property example. Or if you're not a real estate person watching this, think about an insurance company. If you're an insurance company, you are making premium no matter what, right? I'm sure you have car insurance, Anthony. Let's take a car insurance example. And I'm sure you're paying a premium every month, right? God forbid you bump your car today and you go to your car insurance and they'll cover you, right? But you would have still paid the premium for this month, right? And you're paying premium for the whole month, for the whole year, right? The likelihood of you bumping your car is very low, right? Same goes for options, right? The likelihood of an option expiring in the money which is a technical way to say that the likelihood of you being assigned the stock when you sell an option is fairly low. So more often than not, almost 90% of the times, you win, just like an insurance company. 95-99% of the times, they win. Their business model is structured as such, is that we'll take care of you if something happens to your car, but you keep paying us premium. It's the same example. It's the same applies here. We're like, we'll buy the stock from you if it hits that certain price, but you pay us a premium. And the reason the other person is happy is because, you know, the price they sold it to us at, it's a price they're comfortable at, and the price we bought it from them, it's a price we're comfortable at.
You got me excited. And I'm sure most people listening to it, they're now they're curious to know more. How can we start getting the information? You and your bespoke organization, do you do have training programs? Do you kind of like facilitate the way for someone to enter? If you have like a coaching program or an online course, what will be the cost of it? Like, can you tell us more about it? How can someone start learning with you?
Sure. Yeah. So we don't have an online course. We do okay. our teaching in person at the DIFC Academy. We have free workshops.
Just here in Dubai.
Just here in Dubai. Okay. We have free workshops. And the reason we have these free workshops is, as I said, we don't want the lack of money to be an impediment for people. Even if you don't have the money, you know, even if you have $2,000 to invest in your investment account, still come to our free workshops. You know, you'll learn something, and maybe once you do have the money, you'll start working on it.
You guys give them like some kind of demo accounts where they can start having the feeling of it at least?
Yes, yes. So we don't give it to them. You know, the brokerage, you know, the broker we work with, you know, they give you paper trading accounts, as they call them. So they can practice on their own, you know, without real money. But, you know, we are in the process of putting all of our material online for free. So, and all of that is going to be free. So, and again, it's not a course. It's something that people can look at, whatever they want to extract from there and learn from for themselves. And for people who want some more hands-on coaching, we also have two-day workshops, again, at the DFC Academy.
Aren't you considering doing webinars? Are you considering this option?
Yeah, so we did consider it in online webinars.
Yeah.
Yes, we did consider it. But we, and you know, I think as I mentioned, I think from a, it would have helped our bottom line, right? But we really want to build community here. We want people to meet other like-minded people, other people who are willing to change your situation, change your life. Other people who are curious, other people who are open-minded. We really want to create an in-person community. And, you know, every now and then we do meet online. The coaching calls will be online. But I think, you know, there's something about the analog world that the digital world cannot replace, right? And I've had my fair share of, you know, webinars during the pandemic. And quite frankly, I don't miss them.
What do you stand for? Like, what's the Bespoke's values?
It would be, you know, when we started this off, our main goal was to help as many people as possible to achieve financial freedom through stock options. And that is that has been our mission. And there's a story behind it, right? Which is, I've struggled with the lack of financial literacy. I've had it, you know, create problems in my life. And I've seen it create problems in other people's lives, right? And it's really this urge to you know, end this needless suffering that we set this up. And as long as we're doing that, and as long as we're hearing stories from our clients that this helped them in whatever way, even if it's, you know, hiring a personal trainer, for example, I think we're doing something right and we're on the right track.
Do you wish to add something?
The only thing I'll add...
I think we covered the main points.
We did. Yeah, the only thing I'll add is, and you probably noticed that I get pretty charged up about this particular thing, which is just be open-minded. You know, come to our free workshops, or even if you don't come to the workshops, just go online and search about options. And you'll learn something new. And you don't know. You never know. It might change your life.
Tell you something. So last week... I had a beautiful experience. We're in Lapland in Sweden, drifting on a frozen lake. everyone that was with me in the lodge comes from a different background. So you have the crypto traders, stock traders, forex traders, you have the real estate developers, real estate brokers, real estate management. Then when it comes to finances, we had bankers, hedge fund men. So we have it all. And I started looking and I'm like, each industry, I have the champion of it in front of me. And there is 90%, maybe 80% trying to make it and they are failing miserably. And they're kind of saying that the industry is dead or the industry is a scam. While I have these examples that are in front of me. So it's the same way. So I started thinking, I'm like, when someone speaks to a regular real estate broker and he says, how's the market? Of course, he's going to say it's not good. It's bad. Too many options. Too many this. Buyers are playing, yeah, wasting time.
Saturated.
But if someone comes to me and say, how's the market? I'll say, thank God, man. We've been living the dream. So it's the same that goes in every industry. You always have that 20% who will smash it. And you have the 80% wondering how. And my best recommendation and advice to our audience is like, always locate the person who made it. And when I say the person who made it, doesn't mean the person who's always on boats and Lamborghinis and private jet. The one that you actually go and verify that this person has money, he has a proven model where they know how to generate income in any way of what they are doing, and just learn from it. Copy it, mold it in your own character, and then you do it yourself. This is the best way. It's just like seeing is believing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for coming. This has been amazing. We're going to put in the description all of the links of the Bespoke, of the academy that you guys have, how they can join, how many times you do the IFC meetups. All of the details will be mentioned in here. And for anyone from the audience who wish to go have a look, it's free. You don't pay anything, but no one knows. Maybe this will be a beautiful beginning to your future career. Thanks a lot for coming again. See you in the next one.
Thanks, Anand.